I'm Laura from Dark Moon Dice. I make handmade dice sets, and you can find me on Instagram at Dark Moon Dice or on my website at darkmoondice.co.uk. I will be playing Eden, the Eladrin Warlock and ex-royal spy.
I'm Daniel from Detailer Woodworking. I make wooden gaming accessories such as dice chests, dice trays, even wooden swords. You can find me on Instagram at Detailer Woodworking or on my website, detailerwoodworking.com. I'll be playing Airden Septa, the Elven Bloodhunter, who sees his travelling companions as a means to an end.
Hey, I'm Abby from Trade and Tested. I make dice trays, dice bags, tray bags, and I also sell the odd occasional dice set. You can find me on Instagram at Trade and Tested, and you can also find me on Facebook too. I'll be playing Anarchus, the tiefling druid. She has a very dodgy Welsh accent. She's very charismatic, but also judgmental too.
I'm Kerry from Tabletop Crafter. I do 3D prints, make dice bags, candles, jewellery, and other D&D accessories. You can find me at Tabletop Crafter on Instagram. I'll be playing Amy, the happy-go-lucky paladin, who wants peace, not war, and thinks everybody should just be friends.
My name is Drew Murray from Master Tier Gaming, a professional games mastering service that you can use to play games like Dungeons & Dragons, Call of Cthulhu, Star Trek Adventures, or anything else that you like. Contact me if you want to have your own game run by a professional games master. You can contact me via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, on Twitch or on YouTube, or you can get in touch directly via the website, mastertiergaming.com. I will be the Dungeon Master for today's session.
Last time, the Intrepid Adventuring Party decided to go down into the depths of some sort of quarried hole in the middle of the ground for a ridiculous reason. Not really. They were chasing down a demon prince, him being a part elven prince, part demon prince, double prince. He decided to steal a blade that is wanted by Eden, wants to get this, the Fae Blade that her patron also wants, for reasons which are yet to be discerned. Chasing this demon down, you found that he's been digging down into an ancient temple shrine. This shrine belonged to some long-forgotten cult, but has since been co-opted by the death cult of Ayala, something that we've seen pop up from time to time. A being that Erden knows a little too well. Going down there, you found an orrery, some sort of seeing room that had like star charts and things on the ceiling, and a whole bunch of tapestries and paintings, which Erden and others decided to start setting fire to. Lergas, wanting to go by the name Zagrel, this half-demon, half-elf demon thing, went away into a back room with the sword. The party chased him down, started attacking him, stole the sword from him, which Amy is now wielding, and he then flew up into the air and commanded Amy to kneel and grovel, which she did, because he's got super-duper magic powers. Erden also found himself in control of 50% of the insect population down there, because apparently these bugs love anything evil, and they obey the most evil thing that they can find. And for some reason, that is now Erden. We also found a person locked up down here, someone who claims to know Amy and Eden, and claims that they have done horrible things to them. But they were left in a cage. They were going to get picked up on the way out. Let's see what happens.
This happened when I was young, even for an elf. Lady Mara, apparently pleased with my training, had told me to accompany her to the village for supplies. It wasn't often I was allowed outside then, and the chance to interact with someone other than my mentor was appealing. It was a long journey down from the lonely castle, but we walked in the heavy silence that I had grown accustomed to. She was a teacher who taught more by example than words, and when she did speak, it was usually harsh. We were standing on a forest path in front of a large human man who had moved silently out from the trees in front of us. I hadn't even heard him move. Lady Mara hadn't reacted, so Was this some sort of test? I scolded myself for letting him get this close. I knew my mentor would be displeased, and I resigned myself to the punishment that would come later. The man looked between us, and without warning, drove his fist into my stomach. I doubled over, and as I tried to straighten up, he hit me in the face. He was so strong. I looked up at Lady Mara for help or even some explanation, but she stared passively down at me. Defend yourself, I thought. I was useless. He beat me within an inch of my life, and every time I looked towards my teacher, and even when I called out to her through broken teeth, she kept staring at me silently. The blows eventually stopped. I looked up from the mud to see the human nod at Lady Mara before he moved quietly out of view and back into the forest. She leaned down towards me. For a moment, I thought she would help me up, and then immediately felt foolish for even thinking it. She finally spoke. Did I help you? She said slowly. I shook my head, confused. Who will help you? I thought for a moment, the blood from a cut in my forehead blurring my vision. My heart sank as I realized the lesson. Me. I have to help myself. She stood up and waited for me to follow her back to the castle.
Where we ended was a bit of a mid-combat cliffhanger. Where we are going to pick up is we are going to pick up from where we left off, but out of initiative order. We know that Zagrel is flying. He is quite high up. And we have Amy groveling. Everyone else is scrambling, holding doors shut. We have Xander, the tiefling that Erden gets on with so well, currently leaping from pillar to pillar to try and parkour his way up to get Zagrel. But before we jump back into initiative, I want to just do a quick, like, you know, having you guys describe and define what you're currently doing and have a quick discussion on where we're going to go from here. So Amy falls to her knees and begins to grovel. How does Eden respond to this?
I don't remember where I am. Am I anywhere near her?
So you were like popping off Eldritch Blasts.
All I got left.
Doorway at Zagrel. So you can easily get close to Amy, but it was Amy and Erden at the front of this chamber, and Eden and Anarchis near the rear with Cheniel holding this door.
I know this probably won't work, but can I go over and try and help her to stand up?
Yes, absolutely. When you try to help her stand, Amy feels this compulsion to keep herself going down. Amy, I would like you to make a strength athletic check. Eden, could you combat with a strength or a constitution ability check? It's not a saving throw, but there aren't many skills associated with constitution, unfortunately.
Yeah. 25. 9.
Unfortunately, Amy is too strong, and she forces the two of you down. You can easily maneuver yourself out the way if you want to not get dragged down to the ground with Amy, but your attempts to stop her from groveling don't succeed.
Okay, well, if she can't get up, then I'll not on the ground, but I'll stay by her side. If she can't get up or can't fight or can't move or anything, I'll stay.
Also, while she's groveling, she'll release everything that she's holding, which will include the Fey Blade.
Oh yeah, I'm picking that shit up.
Why? Why? That's not true. That, like,
Eden
grovel doesn't
it.
Mean drop. He didn't say drop. He said grovel.
It didn't say
so
drop.
But I'm gonna argue this. That command is the first thing that comes to my mind when you get given that command. It's why DMs can, like, screw you with it. So I have to be so careful. So if he said grovel, I can still be like, I need to keep hold of this blade. But I can be like, I don't even know what you say when you grovel, to be honest. But, you know.
It's groveling.
Who is
groveling,
it groveling
not,
to?
Like,
please, yeah. Please don't take, I don't know, please don't. Because it depends on who you're groveling to.
Well, it's the demon guy, isn't it? So, but it wouldn't be like,
He didn't ask me to give him the sword or to let go.
No, so what's you don't really know what you're grumbling for. That would be my argument.
Mm.
Or does it depend on like how you would be groveling? Like, I think if does it matter? Like I picture groveling like forehead, hands on the floor, like groveling, or is it just like on your knees? Like, I think it depends on the intention of the grovel, what the grovel would look like.
Yeah, but the problem is, Amy have a specific intention, and he didn't give her enough of it. It's very confusing. Basically, like, I personally would say that I, like, dropping the sword wouldn't be part of it, because I, like, if I wanted him to drop the sword, I wouldn't have used grovel as a word to use to make him drop it.
If it was something
this
like...
But this comes down to DM ruling, though.
Well, yeah, obviously.
If it was something just like kneel or to show fealty or something like that, that's something that you can envision like knights and things, sort of like taking the knee and still holding on to the weapons. It'll have control of their faculties. The fact that he commanded you to grovel is essentially you letting any negative upset and emotions sort of overwhelm you for just that moment, and you are begging for your life. Mm-hmm. And so that would entail fetal whimpering, slamming to the ground and trying to pray, or like holding your hands up to try and ask, was it like all of that implies and goes with a lack of bodily autonomy.
But if I ask someone to grovel next time with command, they better be dropping their stuff. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But if,
right. Yeah, I'm having that look.
If you command someone to elicit any sort of emotional response or command them to do a thing that has an emotion tied to it, then yes, anything that would go right along with that.
Fine, locked in.
Right.
Do anything like cry? I'm sorry. I think this is interesting. Like cry would do the same thing, right? So like we're talking about like anything. Beg, would beg do it?
What? Can I get this spell?
Grovel, cry.
Beg. I would say would be straddling it. Possibly. I suppose it would depend on how desperate.
So I feel like this. This looks like begging to me. So that would. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose so.
I suppose you would like that. I feel like then you would drop things. Like you said, kneel doesn't sound like it doesn't affect your hands, right?
Yeah, because it doesn't imply begging, any emotions either.
Yeah, but I feel like crying would or.
It's fine. Like as long as it's a party member taking the sword, I don't. That's fine. My thing was that if I dropped it and then he came down and took it, it would be a bit more.
Oh yeah, he's 60 feet up. He is. Yeah. By no means getting that sword back.
Fine, carry on.
What about Anarchis? She's currently by the door with Chenille.
She was helping Chenille to shut the door because those shadow ghosts were coming towards us. I don't see like how it's going to work because the ghosts will come through the door wall, surely. But go for it anyway. I'm going to shut the door. Come on, Chenille.
Accent. I remember it was a big trial between Eden, Eden, and Anarchist all trying to like get this door open in the first place, and now it's
having
to get it all closed.
I was there.
You were. I'm trying to remember exactly
the,
like
the first one there, but sure.
Yeah, it was me and Amy first.
Yeah,
I wonder. That was it. I don't have detailed notes of exactly who pushed doors.
Come on!
Also, like, you I should. Think Erden was, like, helping. Like,
didn't someone turn into a... Didn't someone take a gaseous form or something at some point? Yeah. There we go.
Okay, yeah, so I'm gonna push the door.
So, as you and Chenille both push this door, grinding the stone against stone, it finally falls into place, and you can feel the door get colder as these creatures approach from the far side.
What, from behind the door?
Yes.
Right, I'm just going to create a bonfire. Like, I'm going to tell me and Chenille to step back and just create a bonfire. I don't think it's going to work, but within a 60-foot line of just fire. See what happens.
is this specifically Wall of Fire, or is this the bonfire?
It's just create bonfire.
Yeah. All right.
Country.
Great bonfire. So we've now got a bonfire near the door. We've got Eden with the blade. Eden.
So these bugs, right? Mm-hmm. Half of them are listening to me.
Yes.
How does that work? Can I just like command them? Is Eden able to, does he know this? Can Eden try and work out how to use them?
Can you command them into a mountain and then climb them?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I don't know. Or just like get them to climb on top of each other and like grab him and drag him down or something. I don't know.
Or they make like a rope and you could like,
yeah, like rope. I can make them into any shape, right? Like
Gotham.
I'm thinking of it like nanobots. Can I command them to like surround me like a suit and just like what is the limit here?
The limit is have you seen Big Hero 6?
Yes. I don't really remember.
Do you remember the villain of Big Hero 6?
No. I remember the big white like blob guy.
Have you seen Ninja Batman?
Baymax?
Yes, thank you. Sorry, what was that, Carrie?
Have you seen Ninja Batman?
Ninja Batman?
Yeah.
No.
So there's this bit in it where, oh God, I've forgotten what the creature was. There's loads of creatures all come together and form like a giant like mech thing. And then loads of bats come and form a bat suit on the form of creature. Watch it, just watch it.
Okay.
That's amazing. Essentially, yes, Daniel. You can see while they're in front of you, they take the form and shape of whatever you sort of mentally command them to do.
Oh. Is it a variety of different bugs, or is it like all beetles? Or is
they're all beetles.
Okay.
Yeah. This is amazing. I'm kind of picturing, because we're doing references to pop culture, the end of The Mummy, you know, the Brendan Fraser, like just like a wave of them just crawling over everything.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
It's essentially that.
I think Eridan is probably going to, like laughing maniacally, just like stand on them and get them to like raise him up like a pillar. Like they're just climbing on top of each other, just creating a platform. And I'm just going to try and get as close to Lergas as I can.
All right. So everyone's got the thing that they're doing while Amy is incapacitated and groveling.
Yeah, sorry, Amy. Eridan's gone power mad. No
time for with insects.
No time for helping friends.
But Eden is standing right next to Amy, wielding the blade, ready to protect her. Amy, after 5 seconds, you realize that your face is stained with tears, that you have nothing in your hands, and that you are crumpled on the floor. Your throat is feeling a little raw. It feels like you've been like dry heaving and sobbing for the last few hours. Unfortunately, it's all just sort of come out in the last few seconds while your brain was co-opted to grovel the hardest you've ever groveled before.
Okay.
What would Amy do in this situation?
Grab my shield. I presume I've dropped that. Although, is that attached to my arm? Have I dropped it? I don't know. Anyway, pick up my shield. Don't really matter. Reaction. Okay. Get to my feet. So, how is Eden getting up? Like, is it creating one pillar that I could potentially run up after, or is it like kind of disappearing as he walks?
I kind of pictured it as like they're all forming underneath him and pushing him up. Like it's a constant moving, living like support thing.
Ah, but is it like an angled ramp that they are constantly extending? Or is it a pillar emerging, your foot goes on it, and then another pillar emerging, and then when the third pillar comes up, the first pillar goes down?
Yeah, the second one.
Okay.
Sorry, Carrie, but that's how I imagine.
I'll like wipe the tears from my face with an arm, and then lock eyes with Lego. And smiling, that's what I do. I'll hold my hand out to Eden without looking to take the sword back, and say, I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I'll just say that it's okay. Like, you're making evil choices, but I'll show you how to be good again to the guy, not to Eden.
Yeah.
Freaking ugly.
Like, Eden's been keeping Xander in check. as he's hovering in the air and hears you shouting up to him, "What evil? What have I done?"
"You've got intentions."
"Truly, you've witnessed death come from the hands of those that are closest to you. And yet me, what harm have I truly done? I've unearthed an ancient marvel."
"Yeah, but you're not using it for good. What are you doing to this guy? You're like sacrificing a guy. That's evil."
"Hmm. Caught me out."
Sorry, he is sacrificing another demon, right?
"Yeah, but they're still alive.
Demons are evil. He's killing an evil thing.
Still evil. Sacrifice.
I'm saying this is
that cancels each other out."
This is also Aerdyn's kind of inner monologue. Like, when he says, "What has he done yet?" It's kind of like, well, I don't know, actually. Like, I like him. He's a demon.
But what are the reasons for sacrificing the demon?
Can I throw a spear at him?
I think at this, we will drop back into initiative.
Ooh.
Everyone roll a d20, add your dexterity modifier, and let's see how the rest of this unfolds.
14.
8.
6.
19.
Ooh, nice. Eden will react first. So you'll see that Amy's suddenly intending to attack this guy.
I've got my hand held out to the sword, but you
can pretend like I just can. I just ignore that. Pretend like I don't see it.
Are you going to use it? Because it's a good sword.
I don't need to use it. No, I'm gonna. Yeah, I'm just gonna pretend like I don't see it. I'm gonna go just with the usual Eldritch Blast because that's all I got left.
All right.
I know that's boring, but what am I say? 22
definitely hits.
Right.
We established last time as well that his armor class is 19.
Right. Okay. 2d10, 2 beams.
14 damage. There we go. Right. So as you blast him while he's in the air, he tries to use his wings to shield himself. And as he brings his wing up in front of him, it catches the brunt of the Eldritch Blast. And then he tries to swing his wing out, and the second blast catches him off guard, as if he wasn't expecting it at all. As you recover from casting the spell, returning your arms to your side, he will then look at you directly in the eyes. You'll feel this slight drop in your stomach, as if you've just fallen a few feet and then caught yourself. Make a wisdom saving throw, please.
Is this charm? Because I have a bonus against charm. The charm effect?
It is a charm effect.
Yes! Okay, all right, okay. Elves for the win. Okay. Wisdom. 23.
Well, in that case, that is all that you feel. Just this slight drop. And then after a few seconds, he seems to realize that nothing else is happening and move his eyes onto Erdyn, who is moving towards him slowly, but ever so slowly. Next is Amy.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, we are just sorting a thing out. So he has just tried to deflect this Eldritch Blast and not managed to. He's been hit with the full thrust of it. But Eden's taken this Fey Blade. Something inside you sort of pulls towards it, almost like something's trying to get out of inside you. Lurgas, or Zagrel, however he wants to style himself, taunting you, forcing you to grovel to your knees. A few flashes appear in your mind. You hear screams on either side of you, seemingly from each shoulder, as both of the voices that you have heard throughout your life are screaming at you simultaneously, so loudly and simultaneously that you cannot discern them and you can't tell anything that they are saying. Just everything around you feels like it's closing in and that everything is being taken away from you and that you have no recourse left. And then something at the back of your mind whispers to you so clearly that you can pick it out from everything else that's going around you. And it alerts you to the fact that there is something that you can do. And for a brief moment, you become fully aware of the things that you can do. Would you like to describe what happens on this next action?
When the screaming stops and the whisper stops, my head drops, hair sort of falling, probably I don't have one hair, but around my face. And then, first of all, Eden would notice as my shoulders start to shake, and then a laugh starts getting like slightly louder to the point where it's sort of echoing around, even with the noises going on. And then I look up and lock eyes with the girl. My eyes flare a bright light into huge radiant wings unfurl from my shoulders, and I kick off without looking at anyone else. So I fly straight up past Eden. These wings, they're kind of ethereal, like, you know, they kind of waft over you, but they're not, you don't, you feel like a slight warmth pass across you as they sort of flap through you. And I stop, like, face to face with the girl and grin and say, let's even the playing field, shall we?
Eden. Oh,
okay. Can Eden just be, like, you know, baffled for his turn? No, I don't know. What? Okay. Yeah, it's kind of, I feel a bit put out. Like, Eden was doing his big, like, bug lord thing. And it's just, like, almost there. And, like, oh, okay.
Thunder stolen, Eden.
Just make the bugs move about a bit and stuff. Maybe, like, they can come up and do, like, a kind of,
come up next to me is like this big, like, evil present. Make the bugs do wings. Side by side.
Something that might be worth pointing out is that if you are covered by a large amount of stuff, say like a, you know, chest high wall or some other covering, like an arrow slit that would leave some of you exposed, but, you know, you're still protected in some ways by stuff, like maybe surrounding yourself in bugs, that gives you a +5 bonus to your armor class.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's either advantage or +5 to dexterity saving throws as well. I'll need to double check.
I'm presuming there's like a finite amount of bugs, or can I just like keep like summoning more and, I don't know, bringing
there is a finite amount of bugs, but practically speaking, there's an infinite amount. But like, if it starts to get ridiculous, if you want to like flood the room with bugs, then that would be like the limit.
Can I change the shape of the bugs into, instead of like a pillar kind of pushing me up, like a kind of make them into like a shape of, I'm thinking like Green Lantern shit. No, I'll make them into a set of stairs kind of leading up to within, maybe not right up to Lurgas, but like, you know, more in range, so that kind of everyone else, like Eden and Abby, and sorry, Eden and Anarchus, and what's the guy that I hate, Xander, he can kind of, they can all I don't know, they're not all stuck on the on the ground looking up type thing.
Mm.
Just like open our options up a bit is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Like in the next go, this guy might be taken down to the ground. I don't know, but that's probably Erden's thinking. I think he's kind of at a bit of a loss and just like, okay, I'll just.
I feel really bad now.
Why?
I feel like I stole your thunder.
No, it's okay. No. I don't think Erden had a plan. He was just like, bugs! I have power. I don't think he really knew what he was going to do with it. Which is also like, Daniel didn't really know what he was going to do with it either.
Zagrel, seeing Amy in front of him with these wings, will initially cross... No, he won't. He will initially cross his arms over, have a large smile on his face, and then fall backwards. But then he'll catch himself in a reverse somersault and realize that he's used his plane shift today, and so does not have it available. So what is he going to do? He's just going to go and try and scratch you up. He wants that sword. He is going to elicit an attack of opportunity from both Erden and Amy. He is going to dive down and try and wrestle that blade from Eden. So both of you get an attack of opportunity, Erden and Amy.
How does this work? Just like a normal attack roll?
Yes, it is a single melee attack.
Right. Do I add on... like what I normally would.
Yes, your proficiency bonus and strength or dexterity, depending on what kind of weapon you're using.
22,
that
hits.
Yeah,
I
have plus 6 for hits. Nice. Roll for your damage.
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry, it's been a while.
Not that one.
Which one are you? Yeah, I'm doing the same thing, like, which dice are you? Okay. Right, maybe you've got an 8 on it, there we go. 12
slash, but it's a magic one now, isn't it? So that's 12.
I remember rightly, my sword is still
on fire.
On fire as well, so I do fire damage as well, which is 3 fire damage.
Right, and Amy, a single attack.
20 to hit.
That's just enough to hit.
I'm just looking out my smite die. I'm trying to do it quickly.
Does a smite cost an action to activate?
No, it's just on a hit.
Okay.
You just expend a spell slot to smite on an attack. It's just an attack.
Then do that.
Totally fine. 29 radiant damage.
And is this with your usual longsword?
Yeah.
Yeah. 29 radiant, that's quite a fair whack. Almost reaching Eden levels.
My smite damage levels? What do you mean?
Eden's spells do a hefty amount. Anyway, 63, there we go. So he is diving down, and when he reaches down to Eden, getting slashed up by both Erden and Amy, he will then try to grab the sword. Eden, you have a firm grip of this blade, and so you can give me either a strength athletics or a dexterity acrobatics check. Try and keep a hold of this sword.
It's gonna have to be dexterity. Natural 20.
Nice. I rolled a natural 1.
God damn it. That's supposed to be useful when you're like, I rolled a 19. That's okay. That's all right. I'll take it. That's fine. Failed anyway, but fine.
So yeah, he will land down on the ground, throw his hand forward, grip around the hilt, and try and wrench it from you, but your arms are solid. He does not manage to pull it away from you at all.
I pop him one in the nose. I'm not a good puncher. I'm not a good puncher, not for damage. just for the cheek of it.
Next we have Anarchus.
Well, I can't really do all. I've got I know he's resistant to cold damage, isn't he? I think we established.
Yes.
So there's no point. I've got nothing. I have no tin. I've got plant growth, so I could try and...
You run over him. And hit him with your staff.
What, I could spider climb up the wall.
Oh, he's on the ground now.
Yeah. Hit him with my staff. What else was he resistant to? You did tell us last session. I'm not just trying to get it out of you. But I think it was pretty much everything.
Yeah, so cold, fire, lightning, and poison.
Oh, okay, so I could slash him.
You could slash him, but non-magical weapon attacks. He's also resistant.
So I can't do my primals. Oh, I could do my primal savage, because that's not, you know, primal magic. Yeah, that's not going to work. Does anybody need healing?
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, Erden always needs healing. He's,
Erden got stabbed in the gut last time.
Yeah, I'm on 7.
Ooh,
I do have 7. A curl, though.
Do you have? Oh, you do.
Watchers will have no idea what I want to
do. Can I explain it?
Nah, it's best. I think if you just leave it imagination.
Okay, I'm going to... I'm going to hold my action until shadow it, maybe till the shadow things come through there. I'm going to go over to the wall, over to the other side of the room and just wait for the shadow ghost beast things.
So you're going to go and sort out the room security.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Just make sure there's no shadow comes.
So you've got this bonfire sort of laid against the door.
Yeah.
You're just going to go and like...
I don't want to stand in front of it. I'm going to stand like 20, 25 feet away from it so I'm not getting burnt, obviously.
Yes.
Oh, where was Nut King? Where was Nut King? Did we revive him last week?
Nut King.
Got burnt. Yeah. Oh, no, I took his damage.
Yes. got in the way. To
that look Drew did was like, oh.
Yes.
Why do I still feel like you're gearing up for...
But... I feel like something's going to happen. Me going to stand over by this door is not a good idea, clearly. Something is going to happen.
I presume Nutkin's this side of the door with us.
Yes. Nutkin is with Anarchus.
Okay.
Nutkin is there. But yes. So we started to look like Nutkin took some damage, but Anarchus like took the brunt.
Don't you dare hurt him again. If you hurt him, I will hurt you.
Nutkin's in no danger right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Between Erden, Eden, and Amy all suddenly having access to different things than they had at the beginning of the fight, it's certainly seeming like there's more things to worry about than Nutkin. Although there is the temptation of turning Nutkin Super Saiyan just to...
I have nothing prepared. I have nothing prepared. Like nothing. There's nothing that will help me. I've got like locate object. I've got healing. I've got fire, and that's it. And lightning. Oh yeah, and water. That is it.
Yeah.
I have nothing. Nothing. So
you did get us here. Like the locate object was essential to finding out like where to go. You guys had several like branching options, and you found him immediately because of this.
Yeah. Well, I could cure myself, actually, because I'm on 15. What am I on? Oh, no, I'm all right. I'm on 15. I think I'm just going to investigate the rest of the room, actually.
Okay.
I'm going to do that. See what I can find.
Around the rest of the temple. Okay. So a general investigation will usually take, like, a few minutes and things. I'm trying to think of... give me a perception check rather than an investigation check.
See 21.
21?
Yeah.
The victim on the altar has already carved into him a mark of Ayala. That's already been carved into him.
Is he a dead or alive?
He's alive, he's squirming.
Okay, I'm just going to go over and comfort him. Is he gagged?
He is.
I'm going to remove the gag and just comfort him.
He'll look at you with strained eyes, but you can tell that he's got no control over things.
Okay.
The mind behind those eyes can't do anything.
Okay. I'm just going to try and study and see if I can help them whilst I'm there.
So you're at the altar. Anarchist will, while she's at the altar, sense an emptiness in it, and a complete and utter absence of the Feyweave. It is a vortex of death, it feels like.
Nice.
Eden will, similarly, now that Zagrel is trying to hold onto this blade, having the blade in Eden's hand, she can feel something inside it. It's beginning to vibrate slightly, but she's able to keep a good firm grip of it.
Demon inside.
It's almost as though your grip is feeling tighter without there being any strain on your hands. And you can start to feel some heat emanating from the blade.
Is there anything on it? Are there any, markings or anything written on it, or?
There doesn't seem to be anything written on it, no. The blade is segmented, but made out of one solid piece. So it's a solid piece, like, folded to make it look like it's different sections of blade layered and melted onto each other. But it is one solid piece.
Okay, I'm going to hold on with everything I got.
All right. Do you want to try and attack him with it? You can try and stab him with the sword.
Is he holding on to it, or...?
He is holding on to it, but he's not... Like, mechanically speaking, he's not grappled. And we know that his grip was weak anyway, so you can just, like, yank it back and stab him.
Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, wow, I don't usually swing swords. This is fun. Okay, what do I do?
You roll a d20.
Okay.
To make a melee attack. Since this counts as a longsword, as long as you're proficient in longswords, then you get that bonus.
Yeah.
You get to add your strength modifier.
Or subtract, you mean?
Or subtract if it is a minus.
11 is my total. Oh, do I get my attack modifier in there as well?
Your attack modifier will be those two numbers added together. It might be dexterity or your spell ability.
That's my spell attack modifier. Do I get that on my...
Not on a sword attack, no.
Not on a sword, okay. So I just get the roll, which was 12, and then my strength is subtract 1. That's all yeah?
And then the proficiency modifier. Plus 3?
Is it? You're going to have to tell me. I'm sorry. I didn't even write it down because I don't use...
Are you proficient in melee? Is it a martial weapon or?
Yeah, elves are proficient.
Oh, of course, yes. Yeah, elves get long swords.
Yeah, long sword, long bow. We get all those things. But yeah. I don't know. I didn't write down. Yeah, I know, right? proficiency with long sword, short bow, and long bow. 3.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So 14.
14 is not enough to beat his armor class, unfortunately. You'll swing the blade in a big heavy arc, and he brings up his wings and blocks them, catching them between the hooks on the end of his wings. He then tries to rip his wings apart, trying to grip the sword in between them, but you easily pull it out the way before he manages to do so. Is it just the one attack that you get? I imagine it would be, actually, given the current level of things. Anything that you want to use your bonus action for? I don't think of options that you've got at the moment.
Am I allowed to summon my patron? Can I try?
It's not a usual ability that you've unlocked, but you
if not,
can...
It's just a question. I wasn't sure if...
You can make
only
a charisma ability check.
Only because he has a stake in this. So yes. Extra murdery help might be good if the price is right. So,
if you give me a charisma ability check, that'll allow you to send like an emotive near telepathic communique to him. Sort of letting him know.
Yep, okay. Yep,
a bit in danger. Could do the hand.
Help, please. 21. Why can't I count today? It's embarrassing.
It's all going wrong.
It all is today.
Okay. So 21 for the charisma. How he responds. Okay. Right.
Help, please.
Enver will stand rigid for a moment and then take on this regal stance, and his eyes start glowing bright green. You can tell that he is currently being controlled. No words come out of his mouth, but in your mind, you can hear telepathic communication from your patron. He asks, do you have it?
Yes. That's technically yes.
He then points out that because there is nothing of nature there, can't manifest. He either needs the altar destroyed or for them to be some foliage or a living being that's willing to act as a vessel, but they won't survive it.
Okay. Okay, what's the altar made out of? That's where Anarchus is, right? Is that all we need? Is just a plant? I mean, that wasn't very specific.
Well, I haven't got... I've not got... There's no life, really. Is there down here? I've got plant growth, but that's a third level spell, which I can use. I don't really need anything else that would be of use in that spell slot, to be fair.
I will ask, but you don't have to, but...
Okay, that's all right. Yeah, let me just see if I've not got it anywhere else.
Or you're also very strong. You can destroy the altar. Those are the...
I don't think my strength's very good. Is it where I'm looking? No?
Weren't you carrying the altar all over the place?
You turned into an animal.
My strength's 11.
Smash it, smash it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was going to wild shape, yeah.
Yeah.
The guys in the chat reminded me. I was like, yes, wild shape. So I'm going to do that next.
Yeah.
I'm just finding my wild shape stats now. So I'm going to wild shape next. Yeah, I can either wild shape or I can plant growth, whatever. Whatevs. What would you prefer me to do? I could do both. I could plant growth and then do my wild shape.
Do both. Do both. Go crazy.
Is it my turn now?
It's not your turn. No.
I'm just shouting at you from across.
Anarchist!
Anarchist, make a plant! Please!
Make a little ficus or something.
Make a ficus!
Next it is Amy, for one of the few times in her life feeling a sense of clarity.
Yeah. I was going to do something, but I don't have the health to do it.
You don't have the health to do it?
Yeah. I was going to let myself drop 60 feet with my sword out onto him, so he would presumably take the bludgeoning damage. But I would take the falling damage too, and I don't have the health for that. For 60 feet worth of falling damage. So what are your thoughts on the whole falling thing? Do you think I could fall it and then he take the bludgeoning damage, but then I use the wings at the last minute to stop myself taking falling damage?
There's a physicist somewhere watching that is going to have a field day with this. I think because of how unorthodox this is, we're going to count it as an attack. You won't get to use your proficiency bonus. It'll be an improvised attack. But rather than the standard amount of damage from an improvised weapon, this is going to be really unorthodox.
But I'm going to do it with my sword. Can I not do it as like a sword attack but add the falling damage?
You can, but since the method is unusual, we're not going to have the... proficiency bonus, but yeah, if you're using your sword, dropping down, just trying to land on it, it's an unusual way to do things. But I think if you fail,
I still smite.
Yes, you'd certainly still be able to. Like it would be like a you know, in all other ways, like a normal attack.
Right.
But I think if you miss, that would be you taking the full damage.
Right.
So, okay. Like you misjudging.
Oh, okay. It's either hit or die, basically. Oh, I'm going to do it, though, because, like...
Yeah, it's cool, you know. Right. Him.
Okay, so what do I add to it? Do I have nothing to it? Straight roll? Strength.
Yeah, it would be your strength added to it, but not proficiency.
That would be a 22. 22.
That's enough to hit.
Can I have beforehand, I want to bonus action cast Thunderous Smite on my sword.
Okay, so you cast Thunderous Smite, dropping down, getting with the hole.
Yep.
I think...
It's a bonus action. You said the drop was an action.
Yes, but because you didn't declare it beforehand, and there was the it was basically I mean, strictly
you're doing this exactly. You're only doing this because, like, I'm trying to do something unusual. You don't want to give me extra.
No, that is not the case at all. I think that generally speaking, there's been a lot of allowing unusual things to happen. It's just. It's largely the ordering of this particular thing, because the Thunderous Smite gives you that larger advantage thing, and you didn't declare it beforehand. It's basically now that you've seen that it has worked, then you're willing to cast the Thunderous Smite.
All right, whatever. I was going to do it before, but it's fine. I'll just do this. That's fine. Whatever. All right. Okay. What am I doing? What am I rolling?
It'll be your sword damage and smite if you're using smite.
And the falling damage, so 60 feet, what's that? A d6 per 10 feet?
That's 66. Yeah, 66 plus the sword.
Yeah. 12 smite damage, radiant damage. And then 28 falling damage, whatever you want to call that. Bludgeoning damage, I guess it is.
Why did you not? Just letting you know, I liked this NPC. He was good. He was fun. That is enough to top his hit points. That is his hit point total gone.
Okay.
So that's him what dead. So
what kind of dead? Is it like if you got a bit of healing now, would he?
Yeah, if you cast a healing throw on, how do you want to describe the final blow?
I think just when I see him like drop down, you know, towards Eden, I see that going on. It's kind of like tilt my head.
So Amy dropping from a great height with a sword. Everyone's seen Final Fantasy VII, that clip with the dude. No,
I'm uncultured.
Some dude with big hair stabs a lady after dropping down. So it's basically that. She drops down with her blade, stabs it right through his back. He lunges backwards. Then as she pulls the blade out, this radiant light erupts from the wound. And then she just swipes the blade across the back of his wings, just cutting them. And then he collapses down to the floor, unconscious and bleeding.
Unconscious? Not dead.
He is dead, but rescuable.
Dead.
He will die if he doesn't receive medical. Yeah, mostly dead.
Pass he's
dead
it.
If he doesn't receive medical attention.
If he doesn't get some cure wounds.
Yeah. So what we'll do is we will drop out of initiative because there's no immediate threat. These shadow beings on the far side of the door, they seem to be trying to like cool the door down, the bonfire ably like keeping that at bay, but you can see that the flames are starting to cool off and die down a little bit.
I just cast create bonfire again.
Like fire.
Control flame. No, I'll do control flames and make it bigger. I'll do a different one.
Brilliant.
Two fire ones.
So you've got the Fey Blade, Eden. It looks like it is wanting to be collected. How are we going to proceed? Let's start with Anarchus.
I think I want to tie him up first. Okay. I want to tie his wings and then his hands and his feet, and then I'm going to cure him. I'm going to give him 1d8 plus 4 with the 9 points restored.
9 points restored.
He's all tied up though, and I'm gonna when he comes around, I don't know what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna use Thaumaturgy and in a big demon-y voice, just say, "Don't move, don't move," in that really demon-y Welsh voice. "Don't you move." There we go. A bit like that. "Don't you move."
He will see immediately that he's tied up, he's bound, and will keep his mouth shut.
Okay.
I feel like somebody should be standing there, like, ready to stab him. Like,
yeah, well, like, can I wrap my hand around his throat?
Ooh.
Hello, oh. That's just revived him.
That's, yeah.
Actually, can I wrap my hand around his throat and lift him up into the air?
You will be able
to kill this guy.
Amy, everyone else will notice, still has glowing eyes and glowing wings erupting from behind her.
Is you a demon?
So can I do that? Lift him up so his like feet are off the ground.
Mm.
And while I'm looking at him, I'm going to say over my shoulder, I'm going to say, "Danielle, that's a strange choice of form, but pleasure to see you again."
It's good to see that you've remembered who you are, Hamriel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I'm going to look at the demon. Why? What did you want with the blade?
Shenielle, moving to be right by the side of Amy. Looks like he's keeping quiet for some reason.
Hang on, so do you three all know each
other? Well, do I know of him now? Do I know any more of him currently?
You don't know any more of him. He's not one that you know of, but you'll suddenly have a bit more knowledge of the workings of the underworld and where Shenielle came from. The former of which you as a player will have a bit more knowledge of because of the Saturday game. So you've got a bit more of an awareness while in this form.
Hmm. And just to double check, as a player, if he died, right? Because he's not from hell.
That's right, yes.
Right, okay. So like, looking at the demon, again, I'll tilt my head and say, there's a voice inside me saying to spare your life. But, you know, you're not from here. You die, you'll die, unlike the rest of your friends that, you know, we've put down already.
Friends is a strong word. Subjects. I prefer the word subjects.
I do.
As you've learned a little something about yourself doesn't mean that you're any better, Amy. Just means that now you can flit around on pretty little gossamer wings.
Give me one reason why not to slit your throat right here.
Whoa.
I'm going to barge over and be like, hang on a minute, is going on right now?
Can I?
Do you know each other? What was this in the previous life? Some sort of fling gone wrong?
Yeah, let's slow everything way down. Can I do anything with the bugs? Can I just bugs and just make them or something? Or like, I just want
to... You can. Essentially, while you've got control of the bugs, you can use them to reproduce a lot of cantrip-like effects. So things like mold earth, but like with bugs, so you can create like a 5-foot barrier in one turn, and so you can build that barrier up.
I just want to like separate them and just the bugs create, hold them or something.
I'm going to create bonfire between them both and just make them stand back.
I like this Amy way better. Well, you guys are like whoa. I'm like, go Amy.
I just don't know what's going on. Erden's just like, what?
Yeah, I think
he doesn't have to be alive for us to figure it out. Let her cut it off. Come on.
I'm just completely baffled. I'm just like, the fuck? I've never come across demons before, and now I've been living with one for months and I didn't have a clue.
Wait, Amy? What are you a demon?
An angel. Are you an angel? No, she's a gossamer.
How would I answer? Do you tell me how I'd answer this?
I think Amy might very well still be, like, not 100%. Like, this is something that lasts for, what, a minute?
Yeah, it's probably getting close.
So yeah, as it's getting on, like, I think more of Amy is beginning to assert herself and the Amrielle is starting to fade.
I'm just going to cast some bonfire and put it on her arm and see if it hurts.
Oh, I mean, it will hurt me. So, thanks.
If it doesn't hurt you, then you're a demon. Don't they? That's the role of the
witch.
Which?
And also, fire will do as much to you as to demons as a tiefling. But sure.
I'm technically not fully fledged. I just look like a demon.
Our first snog.
Does Amy remember that she's Amrielle?
Yeah. Does she remember she just kissed him?
She's like, what am I?
I don't think she would. If she has no recollection of this ever happening, like previously.
Oh, it's just like neighbours or something. It's great. It's not at all.
I could just take the piss out of her.
That's a good point. We've not properly talked about after the initial thing. That might be a fun way to mess about with it.
I think things you do when you're really drunk.
Because
the things Amy does when she's a demon.
What happens when you're an angel stays when you're an angel.
Because it's all
in front of everybody else.
About a bit as well. So that's the advantage of something like this. We can change it, and it can be something has changed that's changed how we're handling it. So for the time being, yeah, we'll have Amy maybe a little ignorant of it. He returns your kiss affectionately. He holds your face in his hands, and then when he feels that Amrielle is gone for now, he then disengages, sees that you're a bit dazed, holds you close, and whispers into your ear, "I will find you again, Amrielle."
Aww. Come over, stay. What was that?
Xander, at this point, will slowly slide down the pillar that he stopped at and clung to for the last few minutes.
Help me!
So Zagrel, he...
can I put, like, my foot, like, on Zagrel's neck, but I want to be, like, looking at, like, at Amy and Gray, like... So cute! Okay. I would still kill you.
I'm sure that'll elicit the occasional... while your foot is on his neck. He will force out, though.
They will come for it.
I'm not keeping it.
Best not. But has it will die.
That is not my problem. Brett, plant! We have a plant yet. Do not have a plant. I don't want to hold on to this thing anymore.
So is Anarchus casting plant growth? Yes.
He is, yes.
All right.
It works within like a 150 foot radius, or 100 foot radius, but I don't think there'll be anything down here, will there?
There are always things, roots, fungi.
I mean, you'll be able to take your pick, Eden, by the sounds of it.
Does it have to be something with leaves, or is it just any kind of plant?
Any kind of plant. Yep.
Any kind of plant.
So yeah, Anarchus will be able to encourage the roots that are just on the outside of the stone walls to push through. You can hear the grinding of the stone as it's shifting out of the way. These very pale, white, almost clear and see-through roots are pushing their way in, creating this web on one wall. And you will then see a large green hand reach through between some of them and grip a bunch of them together, tangling them up. And then they are lifted up out the way. And as they're shifted out of the way, instead of stone wall, you see this lush forest. And a head shifts into view and pushes its way through. It is so.
Who is that? Where did you pop from? Where did you come from?
So we've got a fae, a demon, a tiefling, some weird dude in a trench coat, and the usual party, and a bunch of bugs.
Yeah.
All right, let's get some whiskey.
Can I just make a wee note, just for like, you know, atmosphere and stuff? I think this whole time, Erden just made himself like a throne out of bugs, just like sitting in like an armchair, just watching people.
Like a footstool.
Yeah, like it's even like stupid shit that he doesn't need to do. He's just amusing himself while he's watching this. He's no idea what to make of it.
So, Selendar standing at his full 9 feet tall, large antlers scraping against the pillars slightly. As he stands there, he looks down and sees the Fey Blade in Eden's hands. You have it.
I said I would get it, and I did.
This place, evil, but fitting, is a place of sacrifice. Sacrifices are needed to enter. Sacrifices will be needed now. He will then hold out his hand to take the Fey Blade.
Eden.
This is a trade.
Indeed. You are correct. I must tell you, Eden, before you commit to this trade, I will require something of that sword. And it is something that I feel perhaps would be best sought in this place. This place of sacrifice, but also hidden away from the world. Every century, Fey Blade loses an amount of its power. It needs to constantly be energized. That is with a sacrifice. If the Fey Blade ends the life of a being, its essence infuses with the blade and dictates how the blade can be used for the next century. If an evil being is killed with it, the blade can only be used for evil. We currently have in our presence being of great good that would by far power the blade in ways incalculable. That blade is useless to me unpowered, Eden.
That wasn't the deal. The deal was I got you the sword. I get my power back. That was the deal. You're not changing it now.
I have altered the deal. Oh,
pray I don't alter it further.
Unexpected Star Wars. Do not betray me, Eden.
Me betray you? I've done what you asked, and now you're asking for more without offering me anything. It sounds like you are betraying me.
Zagrel, at this point, will pipe up. See? It's what they're all like!
I'm gonna squint and say, shut up! My foot is still on his neck. Take out of this. Deal with you later. One asshole at a time.
Selendar seems to stand unrelenting.
Could we all hear that as well? Like...
Yes. Right. He's physically there. Yeah. You can hear him talking.
I think Erden kind of nopes out of it and just his chair of bugs just moves backwards to like another part of the room.
Crit It and Hit It is a D&D live play podcast, edited from a bi-weekly live stream. It features Daniel from Detailer Woodworking, Kerry from Tabletop Crafter, Laura from Darkmoon Dice, Abby from Trade and Tested, and all run by Drew Murray from Master Tier Gaming. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, and find us on iTunes and leave us a little review.